Heavenly Father, right now in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we just come here this morning, Lord, just to hear you, to see you, to feel you, Lord, and to feel your presence here this morning. Lord, we just thank you that you say you will meet us here. I thank you, Father, that some may be late this morning, but if you wanted them here, Lord, if they be late, Lord, let them come in on time to hear what you have to tell them. Father, just thank you for all that you have done with these people, Lord. I thank you for the miracles. I thank you for the healings, Father. And I just thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for already touching the hearts of your people to meditate, to let that word become a part of them, Lord, so that you may continue to do the work that you have for each one of us. In Jesus' name, let us all shout hallelujah. There's a... Y'all going to have a painful experience. Now, what did I call this title of this thing? Understanding the Purpose of Pain. Sounds like a silly thing. But I'm going to ask y'all to just listen closely, because your pain has a purpose. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, I get there in a second. Paul, everybody know Apostle Paul. He is, from reading the scripture, Paul is telling us the truth about what he is about to go through, about what he has gone through. And the fact is, what he was talking about, the fact is, life can be painful. Yes. And all the spiritual serendipities and all the nuances of celebrating all that God is does not change the fact that life is painful. We're going to have troubles. Jesus said, this world, you will have troubles. Sin has made its mark on society that its repercussions are felt. Some because they're caused by us, the sin that we did. Because there are other sins, well, other troubles or afflictions comes because somebody else has been done to us by somebody else. But nevertheless, it hurts. The mere fact of this passage, the perusal of this passage, lets us know that this thing is real. Notice in verse 4, I'm just going to read excerpts of a lot of verses, then I'm coming back to them. It's something I want you all to see. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our afflictions? The beginning of verse 6. But if we are afflicted, the middle of verse 7, sharers are partners in our suffering. The middle of verse 8. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our affliction. Verse 9. Indeed, we had the sentence of death. I get the impression that Paul, Brother Paul, spiritual, devoted to God Paul, is in a painful situation. And he is not only by himself, because he says in one of the verses, our affliction. It's not just me. Its association, and it's even the church at Corinth. Amen. If I walk up and down these aisles a day, and I'll probably be faked out, like you are faked out, if I take off my shirt, take off my jacket, and I walk down the aisles and y'all would move your masks, you remove your makeup so we could see who you really are. You unhook your weave and your plastic smile which gives us the impression that all is well. God is good all the time. And all the time, guess what? God is good. Now, while it would be true, that's a true statement. After all, we are Christians, and that's what we are supposed to say. If we would take off our coat and remove the makeup and undo the weave and everything, it would be extremely clear. Sometimes life hurts. And maybe you have just come out of it, or maybe you're in it, or maybe you're headed toward it, but the reality is there is affliction. Now, what's interesting about this passage is that the Apostle Paul is speaking, and there is no debate that he is probably the most spiritual Christian who ever lived. He is head and shoulders above anyone else when it comes to declaring the faith, representing the faith, and suffering for the faith. His own description of everything that he went through as a follower of Christ is daunting. It's hard to conceive that one man could go through so much. But he did. Some would say, some would have you to think that if I'm following Jesus, if I'm serving Jesus, you know, if I'm loving Jesus, I'm not supposed to hurt. A lot of Paul's pain and suffering was because he was following Jesus. And he is a visible, verbal follower of Christ and not a secret agent. It was in the midst of his faith and being in accordance with that faith often was the cause of his pain. Yes, there is pain because of disobedience when we sin. We're hurt because sin has consequences. But there is also pain because of your disobedience. Someone may be here who is still single, only because you have refused to compromise your values and to settle for anyone, anytime, or anything. And so the pain of being alone lingers because of your commitment to Christ has caused you not to compromise. There are others who are struggling financially, not because you mismanaged your funds, not because you lost your job, which during this time a lot of people have lost their jobs, a raise is not there, or the things that you have, you own, your car, your something in your house, things break down. And you didn't do anything wrong, it's just that life hits you and it hurts. Because you see, in just a few verses we looked at, it was affliction after affliction after affliction. The Greek word for affliction means troubles or distress. He says, our afflictions, because he is including you and me in it. She says, so let us get one thing straight before we go any further. I'm telling you that life can hurt. You're a child of God, you save, you serve, you're doing everything right, but life can hurt. Amen. People die, people get sick. Jesus, you were not here with me. I couldn't locate you when I needed you. I called on you, and I couldn't find you. And if we wouldn't be so super spiritual for a moment, there would be some of you here this morning who would say, I looked for you, Jesus, but I wasn't able to locate you. I tried to track you down. I've been in this pain so long, I tried to find you. I tried to call you. I called your number, and the line was off the hook. I cried out. And there was no answer. Maybe it's because we didn't cry out to him first. You all remember, I think all of you, I know a few of you are old enough to remember. You You too. In the middle 50s, don't tell me you weren't born. In the middle 50s, there was this cowboy show that used to come on, The Lone Ranger. There you go. I know it. See, the truth, I tell you, the truth has set you free. And this Lone Ranger had a close friend, Tonto, T-O-N-T-O, Tonto. And when the show would come on, the horse would raise up. That was silver. So you see, y'all know. But there's something I heard about that. And Lone Ranger was riding across the desert, across the plains, with his friend, Tonto. And as they were headed north, it was a big cloud ahead of them they could see. But when they came visible, it was 10,000 Indians approaching from the north. So he said, Tonto, what do we do now? We go south. So they turned them south and started galloping as fast as they could south. 2,000 Indians were coming from the south. What we do now, Tonto? Tonto says, we go west. It started west. Here comes another 3,000 Indians approaching from the west. What we do now, Tonto? Tonto says, we go west, east. So they start going and to the east. Lone Ranger said, Tonto, what we do now? Tonto said, what do you mean we? All of y'all should have gotten that because my sister Linda Spellman has it. But you know, that story is similar to that is in the Bible. Remember Job chapter 23? He says, I looked north, but I couldn't find you. I went south, and I couldn't find you. I looked east and west. I looked everywhere for you, God, Job said. And he says, and I could not find you. The Bible tells us that Job was a righteous man. Paul says, it got so bad, it hurt so much, it hurt so deep, the end of verse 8 says, we despaired even of life. There is a second word that we got to come to grips with, and that word is comfort. At the end of verse 3, God says, all comfort. Verse 4 says, who comfort us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves were comforted by God. At the end of verse 5 it says, so also our comfort. The beginning of verse 6, it is for your comfort. Continuing on in verse 6, or if we are comforted. The end of verse 7, it talks about partners or a partners in our suffering. Some translations, sharers in our suffering. So also you are in our comfort. The Greek word for comforter is the word paraclete. And it's the word spoken of about the Holy Spirit when Jesus says, I'm going to send you another comforter whose job it will be to come alongside you and to assist you. 1 Corinthians 13 and 10, you don't have to go there. You can mark it down. It just came up later on. No temptation that has overtaken you except something common to mankind. And God is faithful. He is saying, but God will, with his trouble, provide a way of escape. See, we get stuck on another low word. That word is W-I-T-H, with. Not from, but with. In other words, when God allows a problem, he not only sends the problem, he sends something else with it. The problem is we get stuck on the problem and don't see the accompanying thing that God has sent with it. Paul says, with the affliction, he provided a comforter. He says he provides a comforter with the affliction. It comes alongside the affliction and provides comfort. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 again, in the middle of verse 4, he says, in any affliction with the comfort. The only thing that I can think of so we can really truly understand this and what God is doing in the midst of us this day and time. Pastor Scott mentioned last week after a message, he said, y'all don't know how she hurts when she comes up here. That's pretty much every Sunday. Every Sunday that you have to come up. Not alone every Sunday she comes to church. And I heard some others say, they don't know the pain that I'm suffering. To verify that fact, a lot of Sundays when I come up here, even now, it's painful. Especially when I look down and lift my head up, it's pain just goes through. But while God's word is being spoken, we don't feel it once we get started preaching the word, because along with that affliction, along with the hurt, comes the comfort with it. And I don't feel anything. Now, I didn't say it. When I get through here, I'm ready to go. But along with that, he sends the comfort. He says that you are to look in the midst of your affliction, and you are to theologically focus on your pain. Focus on it. In other words, you and I must give dignity to our difficulty. In other words, we are to give purpose to our pain. Don't think just because we have pain, it doesn't mean anything. We at God's Miracle Church, from the beginning, suffered a lot of things. Things that, see, when I say affliction, don't mean that's a pain that hurts. It could be the pain of anything, a pain of, you may have gotten a divorce. It could be pain of doing with that. It could be pains of not doing or quitting a job. See, when I tell you, Paul is talking about everything that we can, that he can come up with, that he suffered, can be counted as pain. I don't like pain. Definitely don't want to be satisfied with the pain. But while I'm facing the pain, he says, I want you to add purpose to that pain. Verse 5 in 2 Corinthians 1 says, for just as the suffering of Christ are ours in abundance, so also comfort in abundance through Christ. Here it is. It's simple. It's a very simple principle, but it is life-changing. The worse the pain gets, the deeper the focus on the Lord. It's very simple. He says he called your pain sharing in the sufferings of Christ. He says, I want you in the middle of what you're going through to focus on the fact that if you are seeking the Lord, if you're serving the Lord, if you are committed to the Lord, I want you to focus to be on the Lord. So while going through this, the God who allowed the affliction can come share in the comfort. That's what he says in verse 5. He wants God to transition over to you. Okay. Look, the second most important theological understanding you and I must have, and the second most important thing in the is the serenity of God, sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God means that nothing happens to you except it goes to the fingers of God first. Yes. That's what sovereignty means. God is in control. Either he causes it or because he allows it. Now, if he causes it, all things are working together for good. Romans 8 and 28 says, to them who love the Lord. If you're pursuing God in the midst of what he has allowed, we call it the second most important theological understanding, because the first is the gospel. It's the word of God. And so he says, I want you to focus. God did not deliver the three Hebrew boys from entering the fiery furnace. And matter of fact, he joined in the furnace with them. The fire was still hot. Fire was still fire. But the effects on them was not normal. Because Christ joined with them in the fire. If God has not taken you out of it yet, let him join you in it so that the effects of it would change. I want him to deliver you. I'm praying that he will deliver you, deliver us of whatever it is that's causing our pain in our life. But while you are waiting, he says, I want you to interpret this thing that you're going through. If indeed you are in fellowship with the Lord, if indeed as you are participating in the suffering of Christ, we are afflicted every day. But one thing, we're not crushed. Amen. Not crushed. He says that if you're afflicted, you will be afflicted, or you are afflicted, you will not be crushed. He says, we're perplexed. Don't know why this is happening, or how long it's going to be there. We are perplexed. But we are not despairing. He says, we are persecuted. They're not treating me right at work. They're treating me like a dog. They're talking about me, scandalizing my name. He says, we are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. He says, we are struck down, but we are not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of Christ, of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be made manifested in our body. He says the circumstances may knock you down, but it shouldn't knock us out. That is, if you're caring about your identity in Christ, everything it has to do with your relationship with Jesus. Everything. If you want to be cured of anything, you have to have a relationship. You want God to move, call him up and tell him what you want? It's an easy thing to do. But you don't have a relationship with him, don't expect him to respond until you get yourself right. God is really concentrating hard on this ministry. Every one of you, whether you're going through pain or afflictions or whatever you're going through, he wants you to focus on him and him alone. Amen. Now, I'm not eliminating you calling someone for prayer when you're going through something. What I'm talking about is if you really have a relationship with God, you have someone to pray for you. You come for prayer. They pray for you. Don't go outside this door. What happens? Satan immediately comes to steal that word, that blessing that you have received. And I can't tell you that unless I have been, you know, have proof of it myself. When the doctors told me I couldn't walk, I came in here healed. God, when I left here that Sunday, he told me 8 days I left out of here feeling, oh, man, I felt good. Was walking. I even parked at the back of the parking lot because I was so glad I was able to walk. I walked from my car all the way across the parking lot, in the store, got in that first aisle, and that pain struck me again. I almost fell. But I said, Satan, you're alive. I've been, by his stripes, I've been healed. I was already healed. And it hurt. I dragged my way. I was trying to make myself inconspicuous. I was holding on to something like, and somebody see coming in the aisle, looked like I was looking for something. But before I got to the end of that aisle, it was gone. See, you don't know the power that we have when we have Jesus in us. So don't you go out here and receive your word and receive your healing and let a something come up. Oh, I was healed of my arm. And you leave out that door, if not Sunday, Monday, that pain come back, and you first thing you do, oh, man, I thought I was healed of this thing. I don't care what it feels like. If God said, if God touched it, it's been touched by God. He says the circumstances may knock you down, but it shouldn't knock you out. That is, if you're caring about your identity in Christ Jesus. So when you're going through the affliction, that is not the time to run from the Lord. That is the time to run to the Lord. God knows you're in labor. God knows you're afflicted. He knows your pain, when you're in pain. But he also knows there's something in there that he wants to birth out of you. Y'all understand that? You got pain, the pain don't seem to go away. No matter how much you prayed and thank God for removing, God, by your stripes, I'm already healed just of this thing, but it's still there. It's something in that pain that he wants to birth out of you. But he also knows there's something in there that he wants to birth out of you. But not only that, and that is the manifestation of the life of Christ. A new experience with God that you would not have had without the affliction. Without that focus on Jesus, then the pain is only painful and it is not purposeful. It is not pain with purpose. He tells you in verse 4, who comfort us in our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves have been given comfort. God, please come in and remove this. Give me the comfort that I need to get through this. God said he will. Don't want it to stop with you. While in your discomfort, we know God is going to comfort us, but while in your affliction, pray for somebody else that's in affliction, that's in discomfort. That the same comfort you want to comfort you, God want to manifest himself in you to comfort somebody else. He says, comfort you so that you can become a comforter to somebody else. In the midst of your pain and you're looking for the comfort to come to you, God says, let that comfort come to somebody else who is also in need of that comfort. God uses us, the comfort that he gives us, to go flow through us to comfort someone else. But one of the things to do if you're hurting, to think about somebody else. Because the comfort you give, the comfort you receive. Amen. That's why it's blessed, more blessed to give than to receive. If you are a cul-de-sac Christian, y'all know what a cul-de-sac is. I was looking for houses sometimes where some of you live, and I've been there, and I said, oh man, I turned and made the wrong turn. It just made a circle, and I had to come right back out. If you're a cul-de-sac Christian, all you think about is going in, but nothing is flowing through. If you're a cul-de-sac Christian, you also be a constipated Christian. If you're a cul-de-sac Christian, you'll get to, but you won't go through. So you'll stay sick. See, but if you can go to, but also pass through, then you're going to be healthy. Because nothing goes in and stays. It flows through. Maybe constipation wasn't the ideal term, but y'all know what I mean. Y'all so silly. Then you're going to be healthy. God says, in the midst of you getting out of your affliction, he said, I want you to be a comforter as you are waiting to be comforted. In other words, there is a ministry in your pain. That's why I love 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 and 7, 5 through 7. He says, for even when we come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side. Confliction on the outside, fears on the inside. We are talking about the spiritual apostle Paul that he was afraid. As spiritual as Paul was, he was afraid. Verse 6 says, but God who comforts the discouraged comforted us by the arrival of Titus. Verse 7, and not only by his arrival, but also by the comfort which he was comforted among you, as he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice even more. See, the major way God brings comfort to us through his people, God uses people who can feel it, see it, understand it, and become comforters for it. That's why it says everything that we go through has a purpose. God knows that everything within the last month, different things have come up. And I said it before. Now I have an understanding and how to pray for and really gets God's message through somebody else. Why? Because I've already been through this thing. That's why your testimonies are so important. It's not that, oh, if she can do it, he can help me. Sometimes it can work the opposite. Look at them pastors out there. All of them, they're always talking about their pain and their suffering. Ain't no sense to me even thinking about it. I'm going to be healed. That's why we have the Word of God, to explain what's going on, what's happening. Because people think that way. And you have some jealous people. He healed her. Huh, I'm just as good as she is, or he is. He ain't healing me. And it dropped out of God altogether. You know, it's a twofold purpose here. Does Satan like to play games with you? Oh, let me tell you. Verse 8, he says, we despair even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom I have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. One of the great principles of Scripture is that God must remove your self-sufficiency. It is called brokenness, where we no longer depend on ourselves, because we can't depend on ourselves. If we could depend on ourselves, we wouldn't need God. So many people are doing things because they think they can do it on themselves, then wonder and get mad and disgusted because nothing is happening. Then one day, something happens. They become broken. That God can use you. I don't know if you ever been in a situation where you can't. Your options have run out. There's nothing left for you to do. You do not know where to go. You don't have a contact who can help you. You don't have any money to buy your way out of this thing. You don't have any energy to work your way through this thing. And you're all alone. You're all done. Guess what? You're in a perfect position, because now only God gets the glory. Only God gets the credit. And only God gets the praise. Of all the stuff that's going on, the testimonies are beautiful this morning. But I believe right now, see, we think, when we said pain, we think everything that mentions pain has to do with something that hurts. But a lot of things hurt us. It could be death of a loved one. That causes people pain. You lose a job. Financial, that causes people pain because they can't pay their bill. They don't know where they're going to live. They have to park their car. They can't afford, you can't afford insurance. You can't afford anything. That causes pain. Nothing hurts physically, but we still suffer pain. It's so, no, I'm not going to say that either. It's something. Nobody gets ready to receive God until they come here. I say that because it's physically, I know God has everything in his perfect plan, in his perfect order. Seemed like when I know people that need to hear messages, like last week, like week before last, like the week before that, they're missing. I don't know whether God has prompted them to come, because he has something from there. He has done that to me before. This ain't nothing new to me. I ain't got no shame in my game. I wasn't planning on coming to church a couple of times. But I was getting ready when I said I wasn't going. Like this preacher says, I ain't going to church this morning. Them people don't like me. Them people talk about me. Them people always discuss me. They get mad when I get there. His wife says, you got to go. No, I'm not going. All they do is talk to me behind my back. Your wife says, you got to go. Why I got to go? He said, you're the pastor. Anyone here suffering from any pain other than physical pain? Any pain? You can put your hands down. God is going to get rid of that pain. But first, I want to ask a question. Do you truly believe in the Word of God? Do you love Him enough to serve Him? Do you love Him enough to be obedient to His Word? Are you living that life that represents, I'm a child of God? When people look at you, do they see? What do they see? Those of you who raise their hand, if you truly believe in what I just said, because I don't want to make God stand here and make God a bad representative of God. I got to know God said he's going to remove it. He's going to remove it. But you got to be in line. You got to be ready. You got to go be a helper of somebody else. If I heal you of this thing, will you go minister to, will that comfort comes through you to somebody else? Will that healing come through you to somebody else? I tell you right now, if that be true, you are healed by his stripes. If that be true, you walk out of here, I don't care what happens differently. Don't you accept it. If God healed you when you left out of here of whatever affliction is, whatever that affliction is, don't you dare walk out of here and let Satan tell you otherwise. Because if God healed you, that means you didn't believe him in the first place. Maybe this is a fluke. And you go out and accept something else, or you're somebody come and say, girl, you don't look healed to me, and you accept that thing, you just brought it back in on yourself. Amen. If that be true, God says you are healed. Amen. Your affliction is over. Amen. That's the one affliction that you have right now. Mm-hmm. You live through this one with the truth. There are other things going to come up. Amen. If you love the Lord, serving the Lord, obedient to his word, drawing strength by reading his word, then you're all right. You're going to make it through everything that the Lord has, that he allows or he causes to come up against you. Because being a Christian is not an easy life. Amen. It's a good life, yeah. But it's not an easy life. You know, and some people always say that, I'm sorry, I didn't even mean to hold y'all this long, but I'm like Sheila sometimes. I start bumping my gums and I can't stop. I'm sorry, Sheila, I forgot what I was going to say now. But you know, I never do anything. I can't tell you anything that I haven't experienced. Amen. And I just pray that each and every one of you, God is doing something with this church, each and every member. Those things that he promises are going to come to pass. But I just want all of you that are here to be included. Amen. And that's the thing. Praying and helping other people and praying through your, whatever you're going through. Amen. Pray for somebody else. Yes. Heavenly Father, right now in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for your word. I just thank you for the people that has listened to your word, and that word is in their hearts now, Lord. I thank you, Father, for just making us and using our